When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Ken.
Best wishes to Brandon. Hopefully everything goes smoothly, and hopefully he is back next year. That would be a great story. Before I get to the Eagles, I've been telling James this for a couple weeks now, but I don't think Joel Embiid's ever going to play another game in a Sixers uniform. I definitely don't think he's going to play this year. And when they talk about the personal reasons, I got to believe part of the personal reasons are because he's just got his feelings hurt.
I've wondered that, Ken.
Well,
I've wondered
that.
Yeah. Guys, let's...
No, we don't know.
We need to be careful when it turns into personal reasons.
I understand.
That's when we have no idea, and I can't begin to imagine where this might go.
Well, look, Ken, I think John's right in this sense. Rarely when you see personal reasons do you think it's something about whether you want to be on the team. In this case, it has crossed my mind.
I get John's point. We don't do reckless speculation on WIP.
Right. Yeah.
Bad on me.
I don't want to be frivolous about this.
Look, Ken, we don't know. I mean, who the heck knows? All right, what do you got on the Eagles, Ken?
The thing that has surprised me most about this Eagles team, actually, is we all knew Saquon Barkley was good. I don't think any of us really knew he was this. I mean,
he was never this.
Well,
best version of Saquon Barkley that anyone has ever seen, because it's in the best system and the best organization and behind the best offensive line with the best positivity with your teammates. It really is best case scenario.
Look, I'll give you an analogy, and maybe people think this will hold, maybe not. It reminds me a little bit when Randy Moss got to New England, because he was in the perfect spot for him at that age with that quarterback, that the whole thing just fit. And I didn't think Saquon would be this, Ken, but clearly with this offensive line and a commitment to running, he is in a good spot, a good organization. But I did not see this type of production at all coming. I mean, he may break the record. He may.
He's going to break the record.
We don't know that. I mean, he's right on the line.
I feel so confident that he's got everything lining up to be able to do this.
Well, here's the thing that he might not, though, John, is they may want to slow the pace down.
Yeah.
And they may not need to play him week whatever.
17. Who knows?
18, I guess it's called
at
this point.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, 17th game.
And that could be a hell of a conundrum for Sirianni. John, if they have the one seat, if they have the one seat clinched, and he needs to go get 135 yards,
I like the way that
this
works.
That's tough, man.
I actually like the way.
I don't think he'll get it. If I had to bet like one way or the other, I would bet against it. I think there's more impeding him from getting it than leading towards.
What a tough spot for the organization. If he's 135 short, one game to go.
I like that it keeps him. I like that it increases the probability that they'll keep handing it off and that they won't overthink this too much.
Well, they won't yet, but they might in a couple weeks.
I that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Ken, give me
those last games that, you know, we are way out in the lead at this point. The Lions have lost a couple games. We have not. We've got a cushion. You know, I do think we can still hand it off to Saquon safely and get this record.
All right, Ken, give me a great answer, a smart fictional character.
Well, I'll just say real quick that if past his prologue, if it does come down to week 18, Nick will ask him, and he'll say, let the other guys eat.
I tend to agree.
Yeah. I already won the Kevin Hart ticket, so I'm going to just throw one out there. But Khan from Wrath of Khan was of superior genetic makeup.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
You got it, my man. Appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. You can, of course, join the program. Some talk on Embiid today, but an awful lot of talk on the Eagles, who, by the way, have another game coming up on Sunday. This is the Eagles and the Carolina Panthers. No one that you would certainly assume the Eagles should win, but we will
12 and a half point favorite.
Yeah, and that's probably their most sense.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Jeez, I don't even know when.
I don't know.
So we will be giving away a pair of tickets on Friday to this game. Now, here's the deal. You got to listen right now. I'm going to give you the name in a moment. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 o'clock, four different names we'll give you this week. String those four names together for Friday at 8 o'clock, and you can win the tickets.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And the name is...
All right, the first name to know for Friday is Miles Sanders.
Ah, I see what you're doing.
We're going to give you a current or former Eagle all through the week. And, of course, we do this all through the year prior to every home game. And, of course, Miles played for both teams. Boy, John, he got down there and it all just fell apart. I mean, the whole thing fell apart. So, anyway, Miles was pretty good here.
You thought he was pretty good here?
Pretty good.
I thought we were complaining about him an awful lot.
We complained, but
He wore down as 2022.
But he had a good 22.
I didn't understand why he wasn't better and why we weren't handing it off more. Well, and now it kind of makes sense. We see he was so vastly different from what a great back looks like.
Yeah, well, look, we now know, and I think we knew then, but why he was a backup to Saquon, and Saquon was the starter at Penn State.
Yes, very clearly.
Clearly.
And look, they didn't give him the money Saquon got, but he got way more than we expected. He's the kind of opposite example of Saquon, where it's like, maybe you shouldn't pay mid-tier running backs or whatever.
You know, there's another one of them. Jordan Howard left here, went to Miami.
Miami fell apart.
And was a disaster. So, you know, we'll see ultimately where the running back market goes. But, you know, it has obviously worked out to a spectacular fashion with Saquon. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. So speaking of Saquon Barkley, John, let me give you updated odds on where Saquon is at for the MVP race, which has been fascinating and I think is coming into focus with only a select few that now have a reasonable chance. Here are the odds as of right now. Josh Allen in the pole position, if you will, minus 280. So he is the favorite and a somewhat comfortable favorite. But after that comes Saquon in the second spot, plus 500. Following that is Lamar. These are odds right
now. Minus 280 is a pretty heavy favorite.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Yep. He had a big game Sunday night. After that is Lamar Jackson, plus 850, which I am surprised with five losses that he is in the three spot, because I think Mahomes and Goff, who have both only one loss and they follow both 1,500 plus 1,500, should be above Lamar. Like, I find it very, very unlikely that Lamar will be MVP over Mahomes or Goff if it comes to that.
But Mahomes hasn't been lights out. I mean, they've gotten, Lamar has, I think, done more to help his team win. I think the Chiefs have gotten insanely
lucky
and or calls.
They have. But one team's got one loss, the other team's got five. So here's what I'm getting at. It does feel to a large extent Like, this is becoming a Saquon versus Josh Allen thing. And, John, you know the deal. WIP here, we want to get behind our guy. First off, I fundamentally think Saquon, as of this moment, should be the MVP. Now, I say that to no discredit to Josh Allen, who I think is a remarkable player, and over the next 5 or 6 years, 7 years, it's just going to be a ton of fun to watch. He's fun to watch. He's great. And obviously, he's a very worthy candidate. But we do want to get behind Saquon. And it's not just about here. It's about trying to convince the nation that it should be Saquon's, if it should be. I mean, don't get me wrong. It could go either way. John, we have created backs for Barkley. And over the next couple of weeks, because remember, this is a regular season award, so this thing's going to be voted upon right around the new year. Over the next couple of weeks, we want to rally the nation to support the running back, which has obviously been such a shortchanged part of pro football over the last roughly 20 years. It's been 12 years since a running back last won the MVP, and that, of course, was Adrian Peterson. John, I want to find out from you who was a running back and a fullback. You were a back. If you were back being a back for Barkley and the MVP candidacy.
John, well, yeah, I'm
as
a
it
back
stands
for
right
Barkley.
Now,
I back Barkley for MVP. Saquon Barkley is the MVP. Saquon is the best player in the NFL, and I've been saying this for a while. He's the reason for the season. The offense igniting is because Saquon is that special, behind the best offensive line in the NFL, and now he's restoring dignity to those of us who played, well, I can't even say I played tailback. Who those of us who were running backs. I played running back once upon a time because it was the coolest position. Because I could touch the ball 25 times a game and change the outcome. That's when I was, you know, young and in high school.
Yep.
And then everyone else got bigger and faster and amazing, like Saquon. Saquon can change the game. He dictates the outcome. And it's sad how far the position has fallen in the eyes of everyone else, in the NFL, for that matter. And running back position, fullback isn't even a real position anymore.
Right.
They just take D linemen and teach them how to lead ISO, and then they get hurt, and then they're done. Saquon makes backs like me emotional because he's that special. He makes us feel like we matter again. Like backs matter. Like the running game really is resurging. And the running game is getting back to where it used to be, where it was. It was. Every defense was geared to stop the run. And you knew if you ran, you would win. That's how I was taught. And the running game is now being ushered back, and it's being hurried along by Saquon's success. So Saquon, his dominant play, restoring respect to the running back position, helping the world recognize the running back's importance to the game that we love. So let's do this, running back community.
Yeah.
Everyone who's played this position, past and present, running backs, we need to unite and help break this quarterback MVP monopoly.
You're right.
Really.
No, that's right.
It's just hand it to the QB because that's what the MVP has become. Backs for Barkley. That means may the best man win. May the best football player win. Really the best man. Not just the best QB, the best football player. Yeah, Josh Allen is incredible.
He is great.
And he's having an incredible season.
Yep.
And he's reined in the turnover issues that have plagued him for some years. But when the Bills, I think when the Bills close that gap a little, if they close that gap in the AFC, if he gets that one seed, it could spell real trouble for Saquon in this MVP race. But I love Saquon's chances. I believe he's the best player out there. And I just want to, I think Saquon has been more important to this team than anyone I can fathom, anyone I can imagine. And the difference, I just want to thank Saquon, you know, for reminding us what greatness does look like at the running back position. And he is going to set the single season rushing record that's been in place since 1984. Eric Dickerson is legendary, 2105.
Yeah,
yeah. Saquon is on pace right now for 2123. If he plays all these games, he can break it. I believe he can break that record in 16.
All right, so here's the deal. So we want to find out if you're going to, you know, be with us on backs for Barkley. John is as a back. Now officially the first back for Barkley, which is fantastic.
Backs for Barkley, baby!
So I did not play running back when I was at CHA in 8th grade in 1992 or 91. I guess it was the fall of 91. James, do I count as a back for Barkley? Probably not, right?
No,
I don't count.
You were the opposite.
I was a cornerback for maybe a play. Defensive back.
I don't believe that.
I was a safety. I was a defensive back.
Not going to fly.
I was a D back for my flag football team.
Flag football. Here we go. All right, here's the deal. All jokes aside. We want to get everyone on board. And when I say everyone, obviously a lot of listeners and all, but we want to get the great running backs in pro football history on board. You know,
they had a call,
and Saquon was part of it. I think it was about a year ago, and Derrick Henry was part of it. How do they, the current backs, rally to get general managers to pay them? It was an interesting concept, you know, to try to convince GMs that it's important to pay running backs. So we want to do a sort of similar thing, but go also into the way back. And, like, for instance, James, part of this is going to be getting Eric Dickerson on the record to say Saquon should be the MVP. Now, whether he says I'm rooting for him to break my record or not, that's up to Dickerson. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some people root for that. The hammer? Probably wouldn't be rooting
for... Oh, you definitely wouldn't. You would be don't you dare break my record.
Don't you dare break my record.
It's my record.
And as John pointed out, Saquon is on pace. It's very close. So right now, through 12 games, Saquon is 1499. He is third all-time in Eagles history. With 108 yards, he will tie LeSean McCourt's record. With 109, meeting. He'll break it this upcoming weekend. So he's obviously going to get to number one in Eagles history. He has a great shot to get to number one in NFL history. As John pointed out, he's slightly ahead of Dickerson's pace. So, James, you've never been, John, I think you would acknowledge this, the best at booking the tougher-to-get guests.
True.
Can James get Eric Dickerson on the show? Can he get Emmitt Smith on the show? Can he get Adrian Peterson, who was the last running back to win MVP? Like, James, you have the chops.
That would be a good one.
I mean, yeah. James,
Adrian Peterson would be good.
We turn to you in the month of December. I mean, backs for Barkley requires this kind of commitment from you.
Great.
You got it in you?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. John, we'll find out.
I did not sense a committed sounding voice from Jimmy. Yeah. Saquon's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting here. We just need, you know, a couple of the calls.
Saquon will call
guys.
For me? I love that. Saquon, thank you. I feel like that'll really work. We're in great shape.
The running backs.
We can't get Jim Brown on. We can't get Gale Sayers on. We can't get Walter Payton on. They've all sadly passed away. But James, maybe Earl Campbell. I'm just saying.
Imagine that.
I'm just saying. James
Seltzer.
We actually
had Earl Campbell on once.
All right.
And you know, I actually have an autographed football for
him. Well, that's very cool.
Very cool to meet
him. And you know who is not the producer? James Seltzer. Seltzer, we're going to find out what you got. Saquon has stepped up. Let's see if Seltzer can.
Okay. I'm going to call Saquon and see if he can help me out.
All right. 215-592-9494. All jokes aside, Richie, the official first back for Barkley.
Backs for Barkley,
and,
baby.
Get on board.
He's going to lead us to the one seed. He's going to lead us to a Super Bowl. He's going to set the all-time rushing record. Saquon Barkley is the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
He should no longer be penalized because he's not playing quarterback.
I love it. All right. Good morning to you. The sounds of Pearl Jam. Wonderful to be with you on this Tuesday morning with a great football team. Nick Sirianni will join us in 20 minutes. Sixers, not a great basketball team. Just not even close right now. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Of course, you can hurry because red tag bonus cash, it ends soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. The poll question, do you think Embiid even gets the 30 games played this regular season? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, Sirianni in 20 minutes. Elliot Shore Parks joins us shortly. JB right now in Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, JB?
Hey, buddy. I give you an omelet question today, but I think you'd get it too easy. The lightest element in the periodic table?
Helium.
No, close. Begin to an H. It's hydrogen.
Hydrogen. Oh, it's the smallest. It's the first one.
Right. But Joe, as far as your TV shows here.
Yeah, so just real quick, for everyone tuning in, I said earlier, what's the point of any of the local, I don't say local, the National 3610,
right.
Fox, to have any show? Nobody watches them. They stink. All the shows stink, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're all pretty bad. I found a show that I thought was pretty quirky. It's kind of like in the line of Monk. It's Will Trent.
Okay.
I love that show.
Really? I read the book, the first of the Will Trent books.
Karen Slaughter?
Karen Slaughter.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I watch it.
Yeah, it's entertaining. And the actor who plays him does a great job. I think it's something that, you know, you could say you could actually watch on television.
Okay.
Besides, like, the Law and Order series, they're always hanging around. But I think Saquon's definitely, you know, I tweeted to Eric Dickerson and tagged you guys, like, back for Barkley already, just to see if he can get, like, you know, let him know that you guys are asking for his support. But
I like if Saquon supports backs for Barkley. That'd be a nice thing.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, we're trying to support him. He can support us back. It's all good.
Absolutely, yeah. And he is.
Oh, he seems like the kind of guy who's like, yeah, give me the MVP. Let's do a campaign.
That's great. I like that a lot.
Barkley's a greater good guy. So I think, like, the thing that is disturbing, because Barkley is not disturbing, I guess worrisome would be the word. Barkley is clearly the MVP of this team and the MVP of the league, because, like, you compared Lamar, they're a 5-16 or whatever, but Lamar also has a pretty good running back to lean on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's Josh Allen and Saquon. It's not clear. I want to be clear. I think it should be Saquon as of now, but let's not act like it's crazy talk for people to say Josh Allen is deserving. I mean, he is a remarkable player.
Josh Allen is the only one with the odds.
The argument
odds.
Right now. Yeah. He's got the best odds by a mile.
Hey, JB,
give me a great answer. Smart fictional character.
Sorry, I was going to say, like, the offensive line has gotten better, actually, somewhere. I wanted to piggyback on what Ray was talking about earlier with Mekhi Becton. And Cam Jurgens is actually playing better than Kelsey has. So, like, for at least for his first year. I don't know about that, but he's playing well.
Cam Jurgens is awesome.
He's playing well.
JB,
I got a million things I got to get to. I need an answer. Fictional character.
How about the great, intelligent Tony Stark, just for entertainment purposes.
All right, I think it had already been said, but that's all right. All right, let's talk to Elliot. Elliot,
give him a second chance.
Too many topics. Okay. I got to move. I got to get to Sirianni. I got to get to Elliot. JB. I want to play some audio. Jalen Hurts. Elliot is brought to us right now, but we love you, JB. Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai on a day when we're talking about so much of this shocking us with what they're doing this year. We welcome Elliot to the program. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Pumped up about the team. Elliot, a lot of aspects of it have surprised me. One of the things I don't think has quite gotten enough conversation in recent weeks is how did they get the whole team back on track after an all-time debacle last December and January? Do you have any answer of how Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman and whoever else was involved, how did they do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think it's in a lot of ways because they went through that debacle. Like, when I was leaving the Ravens Stadium on Sunday night, and make no mistake about it, I'm sure it came across on TV, but, like, that was a tough, tough environment to go in and win a game. I know the Ravens defense might not be what it used to be, but to go into that environment, you can't just decide to be, like, a tough team that day, right? Like, they had to get to that point. And when you say debacle last year, that's true. Like, it was. But I think they got through it and are the team they are now because they went through that. Like, they are a battle-tested team. Say what you want about them. They have weaknesses, all those things. But they have been punched and gotten back up. And I'm not so sure you could say that about other teams in the league. Like, the Detroit Lions maybe are better than the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles are better. But the Lions haven't been, like, knocked down the way the Eagles have, right? Like, they've been the sweetheart of the NFL for a few years. So I think that's how they got through it, is just literally having to go through it, bonding through it, and now a tougher team because
of that's an interesting point, Elliot. It breaks some teams for multiple years, and the Eagles obviously bounce back in incredible fashion this year. Elliot, I want to play some audio of Jalen Hurts. This went a little under the radar after the game on Sunday, but I thought was notable in how he answered a question about Sirianni and how much it differs from the answer he gave in the summer about Nick Sirianni. What a difference in the approach by Jalen Hurts. Listen to this exchange from Sunday night.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think, his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think his ability to dive in and kind of get the real detail of things, so he can better prepare us to do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where, you know, he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from them all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here, and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, you know, defends you like that?
I mean, you know, it's I appreciate his intentions with it, and you know, I have a lot of love for coaching. That my focus is winning. You know, my focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
Elliot, it is such a contrast from how he answered that question this summer. And on a show where today we're talking about things that surprised you, I am both impressed and frankly shocked that Hurts and Sirianni found a way to make it work, because I really didn't think they would.
Yeah, and I, you know, credit to them, I think, for doing it. It's clear that this bye week they had might end up being the most productive bye week we ever see, like, in the history of this franchise.
Well, other than Nick Foles being recreated before the playoffs, won a Super Bowl.
All right, that's fair. That's okay. A good one. But outside of that, it is certainly a very productive bye week. And I think that a lot of it, honestly, is just an effort by Jalen's part to just be better at the podium talking about Nick. Like, let's just be honest here, right? Like, he is clearly putting more effort out in trying to speak longer about
Definitely.
Nick, you know, maybe go in a little more in depth about how he feels about Nick. And I think it matters a lot. Now, it also helps their winning, right? That's a big part of it. We'll see if they lose three in a row, you know, if those quotes sound the same. But, yeah, no question. I mean, them getting on the same page, this team was never going to turn around if they didn't. And the fact they spent that bye week trying to do it, and it looks like achieving it, I mean, it's massive for the franchise for years to come, potentially.
Oh, man. I feel like there are so many questions I want to ask you on both sides of the football, Elliot. I guess there's a new player, Tristan McCollum, who I didn't know much about at all. He was out there, almost made a gigantic interception when the game was hanging in the balance. What should we know about Tristan McCollum at safety and Reed Blankenship in the protocol? How is that looking for him?
Yeah, I would guess Reed is not going to play this Sunday against Carolina. Obviously, the concussion is different. You never want to say never, but almost every player that suffers a concussion on Sunday doesn't play that next Sunday. So I think there's a good shot it'll be Tristan McCollum. Now, one of the reasons McCollum has gone in game is because he did get all those reps during training camp with Chauncey, with the first-team defense. And so Vic feels comfortable putting him out there. With a full week, you do wonder if maybe Sidney Brown will get some of those reps and maybe they'll give him a shot. But if it is Tristan, again, he took all the reps in training camp. I thought he had a pretty good training camp. He's someone that has earned his roster spot, came in as an undrafted free agent, was active last year in the playoff game. Like, they clearly like him. But ultimately, I just wonder if they take this week to try to get Sidney out there, maybe in different, more packages, those type of things. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect to see Reed out there.
That's a really interesting point. That this is the opportunity to get Sidney Brown sort of reinserted back into the swing of things. Jalix Hunt felt like he was more involved, more impactful in this last game, and he was actually making some plays. What should we expect from him, Elliot?
Yeah, I was blown away by the defensive line, and it really was everybody. I mean, that's a really good Baltimore offensive line they went against. Not only is Lamar hard to break down, they have good tackles, they have good interior linemen. Like, not a lot of teams get pressure the way the Eagles did on Lamar, and it was Josh Sweat, it was Nolan Smith, obviously it was Jalen Carter. But the fact that we're even talking about Jalix Hunt is such a credit to, like, where he's come, the coaching staff, Clint Hurt, the job he's done getting him ready. Because he was not even supposed to play this year, right? Like, it was like a redshirt type year for him. He's learning a new position. He's learning the NFL. And he's been awesome out there. He's very athletic. He's very good against the run. You can see a lot of effort plays from him out there where he goes from one side of the field to the other to help finish a tackle.
Yeah.
I think he's still learning as a pass rusher. But overall, like, the line, for it being a big concern of all of ours, I mean, they've been really, really good. I think since week six, they have more sacks than any other team in the NFL. So they are definitely playing way better than they were the first 4 weeks of the season.
Jeez, that's an incredible stat since week six. How much did the pressure, special teams-wise, how much did the pressure by the field goal block team have to do with Justin Tucker's misses? Everyone's saying, Justin Tucker, look at him falling off the his production. But our defense is doing a good job getting him feeling stressed.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Isaiah Rodgers has been awesome getting off the edge. You know, he didn't block any, obviously, but it felt like each time they kicked it, it looked live like he was going to have a shot to get it. So The special teams was really good. And, you know, I do think in a lot of ways, like that win and how they won it, with little things like catching the punt, downing the ball inside the five a few times, like not a ton of penalties compared to Baltimore, no turnovers compared to Baltimore. I think those little, like, you know, things around the edges, like that is why I think this team is different than last year. Like, I think this team is a way more fundamentally strong team. I think they're way more attention to detail team. And I think that Nick Sirianni deserves credit for that. So, you know, going to Baltimore and like being that the mentally tougher team, I think, than Baltimore, and you bring it up with little things like special teams, it's absolutely huge. And it's how you win those games.
Elliot Sherparks with us right now. Elliot, Saquon or Josh Allen, as of this moment, who do you think should be the MVP?
Yeah, so Josh Allen is more valuable to the Bills than Saquon is to the Eagles. That just is what it is. Like, if the Bills lost Josh Allen, they'd be in more trouble than if the Eagles lost Saquon. But we also need to be honest about how this award is handed out every year. It is not the most valuable player. It is like the narrative award. It's who was the story of the season, who had a great year that also kind of surprised people. And that's Saquon. Like, what Josh Allen is doing is special, no question about it. But there's a shot we'll be talking about Saquon's season for years to come, right? So ultimately, when I think about who is the MVP, who am I going to think about when I think about this 2024 season? To me, that's Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to frame it. We'll see.
Backs for Barkley. Hey, what about the fullback that we had? Yeah, speaking of backs for Barkley, Van Sumeren was here and now he's not. Mm-hmm. What's the news on him?
Yeah, so he's out for the season, which is obviously unfortunate for him. I mean, he was, you know, as an undrafted free agent, really like carving a role for himself in the NFL. So you hate to see it just for him to see his career, you know, take a bit of a step back. But in terms of the team, you know, I'll be interested to see how they replace him. You saw Grant Calcaterra line up a little bit in the backfield. He motioned out a few times from that. But I think Ben Van Sumeren is such a unique, like, body type and athlete that I don't know if you can just replace him. And I don't know if you're going to add a fullback to the roster. Like, they're going to have some open roster spots here. They cut Paris Campbell. I would think there's a shot Dallas Goedert is going to go on IR. So you do have some wiggle room there. But I don't know if it's as easy as just next man up with Ben Van Sumeren. He was a unique case that they were able to take advantage of.
Elliot with us right now. Nick Sirianni in 5 minutes. Hey, Elliot, obviously the Eagles got things so aligned right now. But as we get closer to the end of the year, I'm starting to get a little worried about Kellen Moore being out the door as a head coaching candidate. I mean, is that in focus for you? And then they have to go back to the drawing board again next offseason?
So I could be wrong about this. I was about Shane Steichen. I don't think Kellen Moore is going to get a head coaching job anytime soon. You've seen different coordinators stay with their teams a year longer in the past. Obviously, Ben Johnson, Ben Slowick out there with Houston. But also, like, Kellen Moore has had a bunch of head coaching interviews. He hasn't gotten them. He doesn't strike me as a head coaching guy, like just, leader of men type of person. So I'll be curious to know why he didn't get these jobs that he's interviewed for. Maybe he'll get one, but it's not something that's at top of mind for me. I think I'd be surprised if he got a head coaching job.
Elliot, nice work, buddy. We shall talk to you on Friday, previewing that barn burner, the Eagles and the Panthers, which we now take for granted.
Sounds good.
See you, Elliot. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right. You know, it's really
Chuba Hubbard, man. We can't take them for granted. They're going to
The game of the week is the Lions and Packers. That's the game of the week.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
That's the game Thursday. All right, let's get to Mary right now. Reminder, Nick Sirianni in about 5 minutes. Mary in Mayfair. Mary.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hello, Mary.
I'm doing all right. Well, I got something that just happened. I had a bunch of questions lined up for you.
Okay.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, what is your record against
everyone else? The world? I don't know. Let me find my piece of paper here. Yeah, it's 267 and 42. 267 and 42. You know why, Murray? Because I am.
Yeah, hammer!
All right.
Well, we're going to see about that. Because, again, I lost my book, so I got to do it from my memory.
Okay. Well, you're going to ask me a question? Fire away.
How'd you lose your book, Murray?
I don't know. I'm doing a lot of things here. I'm getting ready to go out.
Well, what's more important than your book?
Well, preparation, apparently. So
you just go
Well, you know, things could happen. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to the news.
Were you going to rip off a question or not? What do you got?
Yeah, all right. I'll rip off. Who was the last player to put a helmet on in the league? Here, I found my book.
I would say it's the last player that entered the field on Monday Night Football.
No, in hockey.
He was the last player to put a helmet on.
That's what he meant. That's what I thought.
The last player.
You know this one. You know this one.
Hold on. Are you saying the last player to put? Hold on. Are you saying? Are you saying the last NHL player to not wear a helmet or to not wear a helmet and then wear a helmet?
No, just not to wear a helmet.
To not wear the helmet, I will say, was the former Flyer,
yes,
Craig McTavish.
That is correct.
Very good.
I mean,
you got that right.
Of course I got it right.
All of us know what Murray
is.
We all knew Murray.
All right. That was a long way to get there. Mac T, as they called him. Let's go to the phones. Nick Sirianni will join us shortly. That was brutal, but we kind of got there.
Did we?
I mean, look, the hammer looked good.
Did he?
Name the Flyer from the mid-80s who was not wearing a helmet. 85 and 87. They get to the cup. Who didn't wear a helmet?
Oh,
defenseman. Seltzer?
I don't remember.
Brad Marsh.
I was too young.
No helmet. Brad Marsh. That might have changed at a certain point, but for a while he didn't have a helmet. Let's go to Ace in Chester. Ace, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Ace. That's an awesome name.
That's a boss name.
It is such a cool name.
It is.
It's just awesome.
Why couldn't I get
that
name? My name is John, Ace.
It's a toilet.
John is about as boring and, yeah, Ace is exactly what I would love to be called.
I get it from my pop, man. So
Your dad's named Ace, too? Aces. Aces everywhere. That lucky man.
Ace is the place.
That's right.
But So today I wanted to touch on that topic, two topics, really, the Embiid and the Eagles. But first, sure, I'm going to go with Embiid because I heard them talking about it earlier. And I just feel like, man, we got to show Embiid a little bit of sympathy because at the end of the day, he got really, I think it's kind of a career-ending injury. When you look at other players that have had those knee injuries that he had, they either never been the same or had to end their career shortly. Like, he's literally out there playing with no cartilage in his knee. So that's my big worry.
I know.
You have sympathy for him, Joe.
I have some sympathy. Yeah,
wow, I have none.
I just see a lot of people getting pissed off with him and pointing the finger at him, and they forget that he's human. Like, not only does he want to be healthy to play, but he want to be healthy just to live his everyday life too.
Yeah.
And I think us as fans, we get so riled up that we forget that sometimes. And
sometimes. Like, but he's also being so well compensated. And if he signed that contract knowing that he couldn't answer the bell, that irritates me.
He hasn't won us over by, you know, pushing hard to push through.
Well, he did last year to come back, John. That's the thing. That might have really screwed him.
Well, you're right. I guess in retrospect, the hurry up option rather than the we'll do the surgery that takes longer to come back from, but might be better for the long run.
He played in the Olympics.
Does feel like they opted for the quick fix, and that it did hurt him.
And John,
or the Olympics.
And John, you know my theory on Carson was, and I think Carson probably would have submarined anyway, but I think Carson rushed back.
Oh, 100%.
And I think it really hurt him.
100%.
I think it really, really, really hurt him. Ace, give me a big answer. A smart fictional character.
I'm a Marvel guy, so I was going to go with Tony Stark, but since somebody took that from me already, I'm going to have to go with Sister Sage from one of my favorite shows, The Boys.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate the call, Ace. Seltzer, does Embiid get to 30 games this year?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a pretty strong probably not.
Yeah, I think honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't play another game. Like, I think he probably will come back, but if they were just like, hey, it's surgery or something, like, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing.
Do you wonder if he wants to be here anymore?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course I do. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he thinks that if he went somewhere else, it wouldn't be as intense. People wouldn't be on him as much. You could see how he feels like he's persecuted. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
That's such a huge problem.
Yeah, it is.
Joel doesn't have the desire to get back out there to try to prove us wrong, you know, try to help, there's been a real connection between Joel and the city, thick or thin, the connection has been there. At times, it's been dysfunctional.
The thread is severed, but there had been one. Like, I'll say this, Embiid in that place, Wells Fargo, with the crowd.
Owned it for a
long
time.
Yeah, like, obviously the best since Iverson. Doc had that in an Eagles game. Trot had that in an Eagles game. They could look to the crowd.
Absolutely.
And stir the crowd. And Embiid had that.
There was that connection. It was palpable. But now, it feels like this could go either way. And we have to be so cautious. But at the same time, I don't trust that he's doing everything that he can.
Well, I don't either.
How could we?
No, I don't either.
It's like the opposite is true.
Yeah. No, it's bad. All right, Nick Sirianni, any moment, will join the program. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Spencer right now. Spencer.
He'll be on his way soon.
Spencer.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Spencer. Boy, that was a save. What's up, buddy?
Hey. I'm sorry. I got caught up in conversation.
All right, go ahead, my man. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give an answer. I just got to work, but my answer is MacGyver.
Oh, MacGyver's another good answer right there for a smart guy. Yeah. All right. MacGyver. He was a figure-it-out kind of guy, John.
MacGyver, very smart. More ingenuitive and
wise.
The things he could do with a hairpin.
Yeah. Would you call him more wise than smart?
I don't know that it's... Is it wise? Is it crafty?
It's crafty.
Yeah.
It's crafty.
He's sort of the opposite of...
Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah, my skill set.
He was a figure-it-out kind of guy. Yeah. There's no doubt
about
that.
What happened to Richard Dean Anderson? Haven't seen much of him since MacGyver. Did he get typecast?
General Hospital to MacGyver?
I don't have answers to these things.
I didn't know he was General
Hospital. I'm still trying to figure out where Mr. T is. I haven't seen him in 20 years.
Well, that's the thing.
Where is he?
He's still around.
Well, Mr. T, I haven't seen him in 20 years.
I named one of my cats after Mr. T.
Come on, who didn't love Mr. T? He's a legend. All right, let's talk some Eagles football, of course, with the Birds head coach, Nick Sirianni. He's brought to us today, as he always is, by Bud Light. Join Ava Graham this Friday at Big Heads in Richboro for a special Eagles pep rally. Meet Swoop, the cheerleaders win tickets to an Eagles game and more, including merchandise. The 10-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's got more important things to figure out than where Mr. T is. But Nick Sirianni, where has Mr. T been lately?
I'm sorry.
We were just talking about where
Nick's like, what?
Where's Mr. Haven't seen Mr. T in a show in a long time. Yeah. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
I saw him in Rocky 3. That was the last
one. I know.
Exactly. So, Nick,
you don't see many true Mohawks like Mr. T anymore.
He was rocking it for a long time. All right, so,
with
Nick,
pride.
Congrats, obviously, on another win, and a really big and truly great win. And in this case, bottling up, I'd say not one but two future Hall of Famers, Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's a remarkable achievement. How did your defense do that?
Yeah, obviously that's a really good offense, you know, one of the best offenses in the NFL. And our guys just put their head down and worked and played physical and were on the same page and hustled to the football. And again, like I said, like I've always said, like when you're playing with good fundamentals and when you hustle to the football and everybody on defense is on the same page, good things are going to happen. And that's what we did. And obviously they made some plays. We missed some tackles a little bit more than we've normally. Than we've missed here in the past month or so. But credit to them. But our guys came out and played hard, played physical, and, you know, really helped us get that win.
What makes Vic Fangio so outstanding?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, it's getting everybody on the same page, calling a game. You know, all the experience that he has calling a game is, you know, he's seen everything. But getting everybody on the same page, holding everybody accountable to be on the same page. And again, when all 11 are working as one on defense, that's a huge, huge deal. You can see it all over the league. When there's a blown play, that's the easiest way to give up an explosive, which is the easiest way to get points. And so I just think, again, just the feel and the call that he has for the game and just getting everybody gelled together is a huge deal. And he's obviously a phenomenal coach, and I'm sure glad he's our coach.
How much do you worry, Nick, about the rookie wall? We got the youngest defense in the NFL. Average age is 25. And I think that's with Darius Slay's 33 factored in there. We got rookies playing, we got rookies starting, we depend upon them, and right about now, if they were last year, their season would be ending, and then that wall hits them in the face. How much do you worry about that, Nick, and how do you prepare for that? How do you guard against it?
Yeah, I look at that as a positive in the sense we are young, we do have fresh legs, we are continuing. We got a couple of rookies that are playing and that we'll always account for, but we have an individual plan for everybody as far as their health and conditioning goes. It's not one size fits all. And so those are all thought through and you rest them Monday, Tuesday. You don't rest them, but you monitor them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday while they're getting better while they're getting better at their skills and being on the same page and everything like that. And attempts to make sure that they're as fresh as they possibly can be on Sunday. And that's not an easy thing because, again, you want players that are fresh, but you want players that are ready as well to go, you know, that have worked hard all week, that have worked through their fundamentals all week. You know, we believe so much in fundamentals, you know, and it'd be crazy for us not to, you know, work on block destruction, work on tackling, work on ball security. Going into a game, I mean, compared to basketball, if a basketball team played once a week, would they only shoot on game day? Heck no.
Yeah.
So you got to get them ready to go throughout the week, but you also have to balance the fine line of, you know, how do we keep these guys going strong? How do we keep these guys healthy? And it's not an easy thing, but, you know, that's something that we have to work through as coaches and as a staff with the strength staff and the trainers and the doctors to make sure that everybody is ready to go both physically and skill-wise as we get ready for each game.
Nick Sirianni here, of course, getting ready for Carolina on Sunday. You know, Nick, the slow starts on offense, I know we've talked about it a bunch, and we had a call or a guest, somebody in the last week or so, brought forth a theory and said maybe more than most teams, they try to decode the opposing defense more than other teams. And it's not that they're not trying to score, because of course you are, but maybe you put a greater emphasis on trying to set up future plays and decode what the opposing defense is doing. Any possibility that person's on the right track, that you do it more than most?
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like there's things that are going to be shown on tape
that aren't shown on tape, Rich, you know this, like that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And like, where'd that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And, you know, we've had some, we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going faster and better than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter. Now, how do we unlock that? If I had the answer, we would do it. We are digging and we are clawing and we are scratching to find the answer, so we can get points on that opening drive. We've had some good drives there on that opening drive. We haven't punched them in for touchdowns. I think that's a big thing too. You know, we go to LA and we get down to the 3 on our opening drive or the 4 on our opening drive, and we didn't get to punch it in, which would have made a big difference. And so it's sustaining drives, it's creating long drives where you score points, and then it's finishing drives for the touchdown. And like I said, we're working through all those different things to get that fresh start or to get that hot start. Which has evaded us so far this season.
Nick, we're trying to rally backs for Barkley in the MVP conversation, but Jalen, let's not forget about our quarterback. Jalen Hurts should be in that conversation. Can you tell us why Jalen Hurts should be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, I mean, he just wins. I mean, look at his just how he wins. And how he's taking care of the football, and how he, has been so efficient. Like, look at those quarterback ratings through this 8-game win streak. It's so like consistently high, over and over and over. And that quarterback rating tells you a lot about how the game goes, right? And then it's not counting all the plays that he makes with his feet when something breaks down, whether it's a route, whether it's a protection. You know, whatever it is of all the things. So, I mean, when the guy who touches the ball every single play on a team that's good, man, that's got to count for something. That counts for something for me. I know that, because he's been efficient. He's been leading this football team. He's been, you know, great in situational football, like in 4 minute and backed up and all those different things that gets teams in trouble. He's mastered those things. And so he's led an offense that is scoring points and winning games. And, sometimes you get so bogged down with stats, and I get that, especially when you talk about MVP things. You get so bogged down with stats, but, like, the main stat is winning and losing. And Jalen year after year after year, he just wins. And this is the same thing right now. And he's playing really good, clean football that we sure as heck appreciate as coaches. He hasn't thrown the ball in the fourth quarter very much in the past month and a half, which can stat wise, if you're looking at it from, if you don't watch the game and you get the stat sheet at the end of the game, you're like, oh, he did this. Yeah, we didn't throw it in the fourth quarter. And so that's a huge deal. And that's sometimes, his stats show, off of the wins, losses is so important, but it doesn't account for, hey, we didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter because we were up and we were running the clock out.
Mm-hmm. Nick, did you and he together unshackle him a little bit this year with the running? He looks more confident and decisive in the last month or two. And I'm wondering if you and he and Kellen Moore had a conversation to say, when you run, let it rip, man.
Man, I don't know if that's something that you can tell a runner. I mean, he can run now, and he is making plays, and he has some. I think it's you get feel for better and better what's working. I think that's the case. Like, what concepts and what schemes are working. You know, you have a good feel for, and man, he's so tough and so physical, and
We just tell him to protect himself, because he's going to run hard every single time he has that ball in his hands. I think maybe what you see is just the different schemes that we're doing that he's been successful at. He doesn't need my help as far as how to run the football, because the way that when they get that ball in their hands, like Jalen or Saquon, that their instincts take over. Yes, we tell them here's the read, here's what we want, here's your footwork. But when you get a Rich, when you get the ball in your hands, your instincts take over. I'm not letting that guy tackle me. And so I think that coaching in that aspect, when the ball is in somebody's hands, yes, we'll teach them how to ball security. We'll teach them what hand to carry it in. We'll hold them accountable to that. But making plays with the ball in your hands is an instinct. It's a skill that I can't take any credit for whatsoever.
That's why Andy Reid said, "Hey, Brian Westbrook, you take the ball, and John, you go be the blocker."
Right?
Hey,
exactly.
Hey, Nick. Minor point from the last 2 weeks, but it's been a little weird, and I'd say kind of irritating. Four times in the last 2 weeks, we think a penalty situation is resolved, and twice in this last game after commercial break, it's like, wait a minute, repunt. So, do the refs even bother to check with you or the opposing coach? Are they just assuming what you're going to choose, and then 30 seconds later, you're like, hold on a second?
Yeah, sometimes it goes that way. The refs do a great job. They do, and it's a hard job that they have. And sometimes it is assumed on the easy ones, and sometimes they give us a moment to figure out what we're going to do. And when you have TV breaks and stuff like that, you have a little bit more time than normal to make those decisions. And that's what you're trying. We're always on the clock, right? I mean, anybody who's a football coach thinks about, I have 40 seconds to do everything, right? Because that's how much time you have to get a play in, this and that. I got 40 seconds to brush my teeth. I got 40 seconds to do that. That's what your mindset's in. And so when you get that a little extra time, we'll take it. And sorry to the fans that it goes to break and there's a different thing. But, whether it's Coach Harbaugh, whether it's myself, if we get some extra time that they allow us to have to process it and think through it, we'll take it.
Sure. I'm surprised the league allows it, but I get it. If they allow it, they allow it. How's it looking for Devontae and Dallas for Sunday versus Carolina?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't like to put timelines on anything. So we'll see as the week progresses. They came in here to work out yesterday after the game, and we haven't even been on the field yet. So we got to get on the field. We got to kind of get through another couple days before I'm ready to say anything like that. So they're both really good players, and we need them. So, we'll see where we are later in this week.
Hey, Nick, big game Thursday night. Obviously, Detroit here trying to track down to the Packers. Are you going to watch that in real time, or at least try to track it in real time? I know you're busy prepping and you got family and all that, but, I mean, that's a big game for you. Do you follow that in real time Thursday night?
One thing I really like doing on Thursday night, get out here just a little bit earlier on Thursday, and one thing I really like doing is taking some work home with me and sit on the couch and watch football. I don't care who it is. That's what we do. We watch football. Aren't you bored? Aren't you bored of football when you get home? Heck no! I can't wait to watch games when we get home. And so Thursday, you get out a little bit earlier than normal. Just because you're wrapping up the week a little bit more so. So when I say early, I mean, you still get out here late, but you at least get to watch some of the game at home. And so I'll watch it because that's my routine, to sit on the couch, do some work, and watch some football. And so, again, though, my job is to solely focus on the things that we can control. Does that mean I don't root for a team or this or that? Or, no, because I'm human and we all do that. I can't control that. Watch and see what's happening, and all we can control is, and all our minds should be focused on is the Carolina Panthers.
Nick, congrats on the tremendous winning streak, and obviously good luck Sunday versus Carolina. Thanks for being on the program today.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You got it. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.